This breath practice, this purification practice is so important because it's like every day we gather impressions around us, and those impressions will stick to us. You know, sometimes we carry those things with us. I'm sorry, give me one moment. Okay, I'm just going to try to continue on. I think we've got some little feisty beings around that are. They're trying to disturb our peace, but we're not going to let it happen, right? So here we go. I have lost my cursor and I really need it. Excuse me for just a minute. There, I've got it again. One moment. And everybody's muted correctly, right? There we go. All right. So, why are these so important? If you remember again, when we were talking about these levels of consciousness, we were looking at images of lamps, and you know, the whole idea was polishing the lamp. And you know, the thing is, these impressions are like, you know, how your bathroom mirror can get stuff on it and you have to kind of clean it really good once a week or more. Our windows do because of the sea mist and the wind. And you know, we have this amazing view. So why would we want that to get clouded? Just like that, why would I want my heart and soul to be clouded? Why wouldn't I want to keep the glass clean so I can have a clear view? Well, that's what these practices do for us. They give us a clear view of the world. And guess what? We get to begin anew every day as we do these practices. Because they purify those impressions. Someone says something hurtful and it can go round and round, or you know, we eat bad food, or you know, something happens to us. But these can purify all the levels of our beings so that we're not feeling, we're not hanging on to them. That's what I mean. They don't stick to us. We're polishing the glass, we're cleaning the mirror, we're wiping the windows, the globe over our light. Doesn't collect the dust because we don't allow it to, because we use these breaths. Is that clear to everyone? Does that make it understandable why it's so important? Okay. Too many messages. I'm worried it's someone that's trying to get in and I want to redirect people. I don't need to worry. All is in divine. But that's why I'm suggesting. Now, we took a long time to do those breaths, but if you do them on your own, it doesn't take much time. The truth is I think I can complete all my practices in 20 minutes or so. And that's because I focus on them. I don't allow myself to be distracted. If I'm distracted, I have them in a note in my phone or my computer. I can even read them if I find my mind's distracted. I can refocus myself. But the breath practices, oh, please try to remember to do them. It doesn't take long and they are so beautiful and they give so much benefit. Okay, enough said. I'm moving on. I'm taking a little sip of water. This kind of, it blows my mind a little bit. Murshid knew everything. He was existing in all spheres. So this is what he says. The secret behind the whole manifestation is vibration. The secret behind the whole manifestation is vibration. Well, who else says this? The mystics of old, but the scientists of new. All the new physics are saying it's all about vibration going at different speeds. And what's more is there's quite possibly parallel universes that we don't just see right now because we're on one bandwidth. So Murshid says, the secret behind the whole manifestation is vibration. Vibration, which may be termed movement. It is the different vibrations, which may be divided into lines and the lines. So, again, here. So, here's one line, but if there are many lines, it forms a whole plane. And each plane being different in rhythm. Here we go. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, different. As we ourselves are different in rhythm from one another. When we take life as a whole, he says, we can draw one line. And this is so important. And he says this to us in many different ways throughout his teachings. So there's one line. Okay, one line. And he says, at the beginning of that line, there's a beginning and there's an end. And at one point, we can call that spirit. And at the other point, we can call that matter. Matter. Spirit and matter. Or he also says God and ourselves. But the line is connected. We're connected. We're not broken and floating in space like an astronaut that lost their ship. We're connected. Okay. And he says, we shall find that the rhythm of that line begins where it begins, it's very fine. And he says, without disturbance. So it's that sense of peace, which we're trying to, bring alive in this teaching, peace. And the rhythm that is felt at the other end can be more gross and more disturbing. These are the jarring influences of our life, okay? But he says these two rhythms may be named peace and sensation. Okay. Peace is independently felt within oneself. It is not dependent upon outer sensation, but we think it is. We think, if I only had this thing, this person, this body, this mind, whatever we want to think, or I could go do this activity and I'll have peace, or I'll go do this activity and I'll have happiness, or I'll do something and I'll become more enlightened. Well, it's in ourselves, is what he's teaching us. It is within ourselves. And he says it's something that belongs to us, something that is ourself. It's that seed that was planted on us. In us, it's that seed of the divine. Peace is not knowledge, Murshid says. Peace is not power. Peace is not happiness, but peace is all of these. Peace is productive of happiness. Peace inspires one with knowledge of the seen and the unseen. And in peace is found the divine presence. It is not the excited one that conquers this continual battle in life. It is the peaceful one who tolerates all, who forgives all, who understands all, who assimilates all things. Now, this is interesting because when I think of things like this, I think of really great beings that inspire me. Murshid is one of them, but there are others. I mean, I think about Mahatma Gandhi, when he was striving for liberation of India, where he was imprisoned in the worst, most horrible prison in India. It was known for that. What happened? He had peace. The same thing with Sri Aurobindo. I don't know if you know of his teachings, but a great yogi of India has written. He was a scholar. He went to Oxford University, studied literature, and has written very much on spiritual matters. And he also attained enlightenment during imprisonment, during trying to seek liberation for India. These weren't good conditions, but where did they go? They weren't looking for a country club. They went in. When the conditions of the external world were not conducive, even to meditation, even to sanitation, even to good nutrition, they went in. They found that light. I think Nelson Mandela is also an example of that, where his wisdom and his brilliance came forward even more magnificent after years of imprisonment. I myself have met many lamas that were imprisoned 20, 30 years. Terrible conditions and terrible torment and terrible treatment. terrible humiliation even. And they're brilliant. They emerged filled with light because they knew how to go within. So again, it's not the excited one that conquers in this continual battered life. It is the peaceful one who tolerates all, forgives all, who understands all, and assimilates all things. Now we're getting to a practice, and that practice is Ra'uf. And Ra'uf is this magnificent quality of tolerance and kindness. But I want to tell a little story. That's why I said it's going to be a little bit longer class. I'll try to accelerate. We also had a glitch, forgive me. But yesterday, those of you that live in the United States, you're probably hearing on the news about the Remembrance Day of 25 years ago, which happens to be today, April 20th, of the incident in Columbine. Columbine was a high school where 14 people lost their lives through a mass shooter. Unfortunately, today, mass shootings are common. But this was one of the first ones, and it was really quite devastating to the country. And certainly, you can imagine to the community and the families that lost people in that. So, yesterday, we have something called the Today Show. It's a news format show. And there was a segment that was dedicated to this. And I wanted to share it because I think this is the quality of peace, deep peace, and a Ra'uf. And so, I'm going to explain what I saw. So the newscaster went into the high school and she was speaking. The past principal that was there during the first incident and the current principal were there together. Now, the past principal has become an advisor to other schools that have endured this and how to cope with it. And the new principal says, "We are not only surviving this situation, we're thriving." And the newscaster said, they were in the cafeteria. She said, "I know where the shootings took place, were what was upstairs. It was the library. And Gemma and I know anyone that's in an education, we had to go through a lot of training teaching college because these things were happening with such regularity in public spaces. And at first, the guidance was lock the doors, barricade yourselves, get the students under tables, and protect yourself." Well, we found that didn't work. Because what happens if the shooter wants to get in, they will get in. And then the students are like lame ducks to get shot. So we had to develop strategies depending on what classroom we were in, where the armed intruder might have come into campus. You know, were we going to jump from the windows? Were we going to exit through it? And then not run to parking lots where they could be on the roof? There were all kinds of things that we had to cope with in addition to teaching school, but we had to practice this and we had to talk about it with our students. So this was this day, the students were in the barricaded in the library. Well, when you look up, let me say there's a light now, a skylight that the light beams down. They removed that floor, and what they've replaced are these beautiful images of 13 aspen trees. Columbine's in California, and the aspen tree is a beautiful tree that's there. So these trees, there are 13 of them representing each person that lost their lives. But what happened? There was a teacher and coach in the cafeteria. He could see what was starting to happen. He ran up those stairs and he told the students, "Run, run." 12 of them didn't get away. And he didn't get away. He lost his life saving those children. Well, they asked his daughter. She spoke. And she said, "You know, when it first happened, myself and my family, we said he just was in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was just in the wrong place at the wrong time." And the newscaster said, "And now?" And she says, "Now we know he was in the right place at the right time." And the newscaster asked the daughter, "How did you come to feel this way?" And she said, "Since that time, so many people have come up to us and they say, if it wasn't for your father, my children wouldn't be alive. If it wasn't for your father, I wouldn't be alive. And then she said, she even had one couple come up and say, this is our baby. Would you hold our baby in your arms? We want to tell you, because of your father, we were in that library, but we wouldn't be alive, and this baby wouldn't be alive. And she said, we realize he was in the right place at the right time because he saved all those lives. And not only those lives, but all the lives that would be to come in future generations. That's Ra'uf. And that's transforming something terrible into something beautiful through deep peace and understanding. And I thought that story, and it happens again today, that is it is the anniversary, the 25th anniversary of that. And I thought, as we say this practice, Ra'uf, and I'll tell you the meaning, we could think of those lives. And maybe we only say it 13 times for each one of them. Now, Ra'uf, Ra'uf, that ooh sound is like the who that the Sufis say. The who is, it means God is here right now. Ooh. And Ra'uf, it's like a coo. You know, that you hear that sound sometimes of the doves. Ooh, ooh. My father had said, I understand who very first time he heard it. He said, I know the meaning of that. He called me the next day. He came to a Sufi event. He said, that who. He said, that's the sign. That's the sound that the dove makes, and the dove is a sign of peace. I mean, he totally got it just through sound. Well, that sound is the end of Ra'uf, oof. Now, it means a quiet, loving peacefulness. But it's not just when, hey, I'm hanging out, everything's cool, I'm peaceful, everybody's peaceful. No, it's in the context of difficulties. And it's lovingness that relieves the suffering of others. And if we know how to do that, then we know how to relieve our own suffering. So you hear that quality of Ra'uf, I hope, in the story that I just told you, how that young woman was able to transform that life, that loss of her father, into something beautiful and meaningful. That's the quality of Ra'uf. Even in difficulties, this kind of loving kindness relieves the suffering. A Ra'uf is a kind of spiritual serenity, or it's serenity, which we could call spiritual confidence. And it allows us to overcome hostility, anger, and hate. And I hope none of you have endured it, but I have to tell you, with this face and this color skin, I've endured it. I felt it coming towards me. But you have to just consider this as a limitation of others. And if you can, be kind, and if not, be quiet and move on. Ra'uf is quiet, and it's a gentle expression of love. And this kind of love can go towards very hateful people and touch them in the depth of their soul. How do we understand this? Because through our practices, if we can touch the depth of our soul, we can let that soul's light touch another. We don't have to speak of it. We don't have to really do anything. We just radiate. I inhale divine light and life. I radiate divine life and light. Okay, so now the last little piece is it is said that Ra'uf comes from a deep seated place of indifference. Now we think of indifference of I'm indifferent to that person, like you don't care, or I'm indifferent to what we do, I don't care. That isn't what merchant means, not at all. So whenever you read that in the teachings, you must think what it really means is equanimity. What is equanimity? Equanimity is this place of balance within oneself, no matter what. And I know some of you are in the healthcare profession, or social work, you know what I'm talking about. You have to have this equanimity so that you can make the right decisions, so you can stay calm in spite of people's emotions, in spite of their pain, in spite of whatever's happening. You can remain calm and have equanimity, and indifference is the meaning of it, so that you can act from the best possible place to help that person. Does that make sense? So, one more short little story. I'm full of it today, obviously. When I would go and do retreats with Pure Vilayat, he would gather us for 10 weeks or 10 days or 2 weeks to learn, study, and be together, the leaders of the Sufi order at the time. And we would meet with him twice a day. We'd have evening activities, and in the meantime, we'd have smaller groups where we studied the various concentrations of healing, universal worship, and so forth, retreat guide training, and things like that. And we'd also have group meetings sometimes over lunch where we'd meet with our regional people, people in our area that were doing the work. This story, to me, is an embodiment of Rauf. So there's a woman that's there. And she said, you know, and we knew her. She was doing chaplain work in the prisons. So she'd go in and, you know, she'd listen to people and she'd pray with them, but they also did universal worship and things like that. So one day she was in her kitchen and it was a warm day. So she had her screens, you know, her windows open, her screen door was open, and she was in the kitchen. And the kitchen was at the back of the home and the screen door was there, and she had her back turned. She was doing something at the sink and she heard something. And when she turned around, it was one of the prisoners that had been released was in her kitchen. And from the island, he had a knife that he had taken in his hand. And he came up to her and he grabbed her and he had the knife at her throat. You know what she did? She said, I love you. No, Jesus loves you, and so do I. Jesus loves you, and so do I. And she said, he didn't say a word. He dropped the knife and he ran away. I mean, that's how disarming Rauf can be. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Buddha loves you, and so do I. The universe loves you, and so do I. God loves you, and so do I. That's Rauf. She stayed calm. She thought, if this is the moment of my death, these are the last words I wish to say. And it totally disarmed him. Okay. So let's say Rauf for each of those 12 teenagers and their coach that saved others. And we'll intone it. Listen to me for a couple of times, and then I'll start to count. So we're going to say, Yarau. Yarau. Remember, there's an F at the end. Say it with me. 11, I'll count for us 13 times. Yarau. 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 And may this vibration touch those souls that have departed, but also their families that bore that loss, the community. May they be strengthened by love and kindness and tolerance. I think this is complete. I think there's nothing more. I have more here. I will continue this next month. Okay. So let's close with the prayer, Khatun. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace. Send us the peace. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit, and unite us all in thy perfect being. And if there's anything at all that's been of benefit today, may it extend out from us in ever widening circles, touching all beings, so they may live in peace and equanimity and feel loved. And I know a lot of you are so kind and generous. Probably almost every one of you is given, you give on a monthly basis, but I do always remind people to think of making a contribution if you feel this has spoken to me and you. It spoke to me. I hope it spoke to you. And I just send you my love. Let this message go with you.